My top five podcasters, Chris Lambert, and probably myself, but this ain't about that. The Mundane Festival is where you're at. If you've been tapped in, you know what's up. If you're a first timer, hey, welcome to the club. The cost of admission is simply a subscription, then rating and reviewing it wherever you listen. Don't worry about change ups, the cast won't break up. Even when that $1 million contract show up, a stand up guy who's a stand up comedian with a stance on everything from food to media. So welcome to the show, please take your seat. Let's find out what he's got in store this week. Who, me? I'm Don Will, your opening act. Thanks for coming out. Please clap. The Mundane Festival. With your host, Chris Lambert.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lambert, recording this episode for Sunday, June 26th, 2022. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast listening apparatus. And if you're really into this thing, go over to Apple Podcasts, give this show a 5-star review, let everybody know why you like it, because it's simply the right thing to do. And if you want to take your love and appreciation of this show to an even deeper level, go over to patreon.com/mundanefestival and subscribe $3 a month for hours and hours and hours of bonus content. This is episode 582. There's no guest. It's just me talking on a microphone, recording this episode on a Saturday. I feel like I've had a pretty busy morning already. I woke up pretty early. I ate an apple. I went back to sleep for about an hour or so. And then I got on the exercise bike, watching some episodes of rewatching Abbott Elementary, which is fucking fantastic. Took a shower, had a nice little breakfast, and I'm podcasting, baby. I don't know how long this is going to be because I'm supposed to go to a friend's play. So I'm just going to talk into this microphone and let's see what kind of magic happens. I hope everybody had a good week. Hope everybody had a great Father's Day weekend. It was pretty fucking rough for me. This was the first one without my dad. It was fucking rough. And I was a wreck. I drove back from Maryland to Jersey. And I was just like, I was just feeling bad. And I stopped to get gas at a Wawa right before I crossed the Delaware Memorial Bridge. And I was just like, my heart was heavy. I was pumping gas and this guy comes over to me and he's like, oh, I need gas money. I don't know where he was. He had Virginia plates and he had a foreign accent. And I said, oh man, I don't have any cash on me. And I just felt really bad. I said, well, how could I honor my dad on Father's Day? And I just had a second thought of just saying, let me just give this guy some cash. So I went to the ATM and gave him $20 and said, here, man, because my dad would have done something like that. He would have gave the guy. Now, if my dad was still alive, he would say, you gave him $20. Shit. But I've seen my dad do stuff like that. I think I've talked about that on the show before, because especially I don't go to church anymore. And I used to give, you know, put money in the collection basket. So that was, oh shit. Sorry about that, guys. My alarm I set in case I was a lazy asshole. But I didn't need it. So I was up. Sorry about that. So that was one way to just kind of honor him on Father's Day, something that he probably would have done. Now, he would have told me, you know, he'd have told me not to do that, but, you know, whatever. But other than that, this week has been pretty good. TPS reports by day, the daily grind, and I got to shoot an episode of television that hopefully will come out, if not later on this year, probably next year sometime. And that was really cool. That was it's always fun to do that. But to do these things now, you know, you have to take a COVID test. And I've been used to taking COVID tests since the run of the Lehman trilogy. We get tested every other day, just about. And so I've been doing that. And I've been taking COVID tests all the time before I go visit my mother. So I've been doing that a lot. And but this time I had to go into the city to get a COVID test. And I had to go to get a test on Wednesday to shoot on Thursday. And I had to drive in from Westchester down to Park West. What is it? Is it? I think it's like. Oh, my God. I hate that. I don't remember. What is that? Central Park? And it's not Central Park. It's like. It's. Oh, God. Let me look at the email. Now I've got you waiting with bated breath. trying to find out where I had to go take a fucking COVID test. But, oh man, where the hell is it? I thought that I was just going to find this and it was going to be, it's not in my stars. It's Park West. Oh God. What is that shit? Now I have to find it. Now I'm just like, this is really pissing me off. So I'm going to actually have to find this shit now. Oh my God. Oh my God. Wow. COVID. Okay, COVID test. It was Park Avenue South. So I had to drive there and it took an hour and change. And traffic is so ridiculous. Like that's another way. You know, we're back because of the school shootings and the mass shootings all around the country and traffic is back. So that's one way, you know. I hope you guys can't hear the my neighbors downstairs. I hope you can't hear their TV. I don't know. You wouldn't think the walls would be this thin. But I hope you can't hear that. If not, you can just focus on my dulcet tones. But I did have to go drive an hour and change. The test was like 5 minutes, less than 5 minutes. And I was back on the road and it took even longer to get home. But thankfully I didn't have to pay that much for parking. I paid $10 to park at the, metered parking was like $10 for 2 hours. I obviously didn't need that much time, but you never know. And, so I just figured like, I would just do that. You know, I'd pay for that and, not have to worry about it. Cause this project was for, like a company that I worked for before, and I had my record from last year, the time that I shot something, that episode of Endgame. I shot that and it's with the same company. And so it showed that I had that information up. This is really boring to you guys, but where was I going with that? And I didn't, oh my God, their TV is really fucking loud. Or are they talking? I can't even tell now. Well, they're assholes. Anyway, maybe my TV is loud to them. Maybe my podcasting is too loud. Who knows? But this is what I want. This is the example. Because the last time I took a test with that company, I waited until they got the results. So that's what I thought was going to happen. But this was more like when I was doing Lehman Trilogy, where you take the test. You look at you a few hours, several, like maybe 3 or 4 hours, maybe like 6 hours later. Let's say you take the test at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You'd find out if your test was positive or negative, like maybe around midnight or so. So that's what this one was. Anyway, that's really boring. I was stuck in traffic. I got a nail in my car on Wednesday and couldn't get it looked at until yesterday, which was Friday, and I'd put air because I kind of felt something that I had run over something, and I didn't notice that I had a flat until it wasn't flat, but it was just like my car sensor was like a low tire pressure. And I was like, sometimes when the weather changes, you get those notifications, and you just put air in your tires, and you're good to go. But when I saw that, I was like, oh shit. And thankfully, I was able to get to work that day. That was on Wednesday. I was able to get to work and go back, go down into the city, go back and go home and all that stuff, and then go back into the city again, film the TV episode, and I didn't have to go to work on yesterday. I was working from home, so that was cool, and I just took it to the Goodyear. And the good thing about it, I didn't have to pay because I had like the service plan or something. So that was cool. And I thought it was just going to be on my front tires that I had the service on, whatever it was. Because the last time I got new tires a few months ago was for my front tires. And this is really boring. This is Tire Talk with Chris Lamberth. It's a little after 11 a.m. on a Saturday. And, we do Tire Talk at the top of the hour. And maintenance on other parts of the car later in the hour. That was really bad improv. I'm sorry. So I got that done. Thankfully, I didn't have to pay. But then the money gods made me have to pay, what, like $70 to fill my gas tank. So sometimes when you feel like you're winning in some places, you know, the car, you just, I don't think it's karma. It's just like the finance gods always have a way to get you. You know what I'm saying? So, but getting new tires, that could be anywhere from $200 to $400. Cause I remember one time, I don't know that much about, cars, but I do know that one time a mechanic told me at the store one day, he said, yeah, you know, if you have to get one tire and it's not the same type of tire, it's going to be like having sneakers and, dress pumps, like what that women heels wearing. So it's not going to be good for your car. So you replace usually two at a time. That's what I was told. That's what you usually have to do, unless you're getting this exact same type of tire that's comparable to your back and front tires. You know what I'm saying? So that's that. Comedy wise, guys, or comedy with regards to comedy, I'm going to be doing stand up over at the Brick City Comedy Review at Kilkenny Ale House next Friday, this coming Friday, July 1st. So I guess that takes us into the July 4th weekend. I'm doing comedy at the Brick City Comedy Review at Kilkenny Ale House. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'll post the link and everything on my Instagram and on the social media, and hopefully you'll come out. I've been working on some stuff. I've been writing, and as an artist, you know, I'm working on my craft. So I'm really excited to get to do that. And I'm supposed to be somewhere in Connecticut in July, but I'm not sure if that's a public or private gig. I'm not 100% sure about that, but Friday is a public gig. It's hosted by the great Justin Williams from the Fraudsters podcast, which is really awesome. Terrific podcast. So I'm looking forward to that. I always have fun. It's a gig that I get to do. I've been fortunate enough to get to do once a year, close out the show, and they have music and alcoholic beverages, and I think they have food too. I've never eaten there, but it seems like people, when they eat there and drink there, they're having a good time. And it's in downtown Newark, and it's safe. I know back when I was in high school, there was this film called New Jersey Drive, and they said it was the car theft capital of the world. They've cleaned up because white people have moved there, and they built the Prudential Center there. So it's a lot safer. The cops are out. And you know a place is safe when you're down there and you see a middle-aged white guy skateboarding. So that's pretty cool. And then Newark also, around the time that I started doing comedy, like the early 2010s, I started in 2009 and then was doing shows all over the tri-state area. And I used to do shows in the Ironbound. I used to do these open mics at, I think I talked about this before. It was called Seven Burritos. And it was a cool burrito spot. The burritos were pretty good. And then they'd have these open mic nights where musicians would go up. I was the only comic there. And I would get to do long sets. I'd get to do like 15 or 20 minutes and get to work out and build my act. And it was just a great time. I think it was, shout out to Joshua Reyes. I believe that was, yeah, he's a musician. And he used to have me there. He used to do open mics around New Jersey. And that was one of the places that we do open mics at. And on Friday night, I would get to perform. It was fucking awesome. So that Newark has a big place in my heart when it comes to stand up. And yeah, it's really good. Really cool. Then they had another place called Hell's Kitchen that I've done shows there a couple times. So, yeah, Newark. So I'll be there next Friday doing stand-up, trying to make people laugh. As far as the Roe v. Wade thing, man, like, you know, I feel like with this podcast and a lot of my friends, you know, like, I kind of feel like I'm speaking to the choir when I'm talking about these issues, a lot of these issues. So all I just say, I mean, people should have voted for Hillary, man. And I wonder all the people that are complaining, and not all, but some of the, it's got to be a significant amount of people who are complaining that didn't do what they were supposed to do when they walked in the election booth in 2016. Like, I don't think those people, some of those people, a significant portion of those people who complained, who are complaining now, did not vote for Hillary. And I believe, you know, people were saying like, oh, she said this was going to happen, you know, and I you can probably look that up somewhere and have her and find that she was right, that she did say something about it. Yeah, we should have voted for the lady in the pantsuit, man. And a lot of this wouldn't happen. A lot of people thought that Trump being in office would be a joke. It would be something fun. And, you know, but it's... a lot of people, it's going to affect a lot of people for years and years. And it's not just this issue. It's a lot more when it comes to human rights. So, I mean, people that listen to this show, you know where I stand. It's just your civic duty. Vote for those people. Vote for those people who are going to. And it wasn't even a thing of the lesser of two evils. Like, that's something that, you know, black people and people of color in this country have done for years and years, with the ones who do not try to, I don't want to say placate to whiteness, but to get closer to whiteness. People who don't do that, people of color who are not doing that, who are voting to do the right thing and to benefit their families and their people, you know, I don't want to speak too much on it. I mean, you'll hear it on Three Guys On. They'll talk about it. They'll talk about it for like 3 hours. But that's not what I do here. Yeah. You know where I stand. You know, people should have voted for Hillary, and continue to vote in just your local elections, as well as your primaries and all that stuff. All right. What else? I'm reading a new book. I finished that Tracy Flick Can't Win a couple of weeks ago, like the first day that I bought it. And that was great. I talked about that last week. I really dug it. I'm on to the new Howard Bryant book, Ricky, which is fantastic already. I think I'm just like maybe 60 pages in or so, something like that. And it just really, not only is it a biography on a great Major League Baseball player, it's one that he sets the landscape around where Ricky grew up, the socioeconomic situation that he was in, the racial dynamic of what the world was like when he was. It's almost like how that OJ documentary was. It's just like that, but it's about a guy who didn't kill anybody, who was just a great baseball player, and what he had to face as he was coming up, and then what he was dealing with in his career. So I'm really looking forward to getting back into it. I really I really do like it so far. Howard Bryant's great. You know, he's a great writer. Friend of the podcast, Howard Bryant. Another thing I didn't talk about last week, I'll try not to be too, last week I was pretty angry, for good reason. I will try not to get my Al Bundy on as much as I did the past few weeks, but some things like that, when you have a career milestone, when you're involved in something like that, that wins, it's always good to reflect so you know where you came from and you know where you're going in life and your career. I just think sometimes, but hopefully it helps somebody. I don't know. Because I know when I hear people's stories, that's one reason I really enjoy pastimes. I love listening to podcasts. I love listening to interviews. And a lot of times I'll go on interviews and go on YouTube and listen to interviews of actors and, you know, entertainers and writers and things like that. And you get to understand their story, see where they come from. And you often realize, like, oh, it's similar to mine, or that's kind of like how I came up, or and just how they persevered through certain things. So maybe me bitching and complaining or talking about stuff helped somebody. But I think it is always a good thing to reflect. So it was really cool. And the show won 5 Tonys, and I was a part of that. Another thing that we didn't talk about last week, that a couple of weeks ago, Sony announced that they're making a Last of Us Part 1, which is a remake of the 2013 classic video game, The Last of Us. Now, the scuttlebutt is a lot of people are complaining. The nerds are complaining because the game costs $70 on PlayStation. And they've got like a version of the game, the physical copy, $70. And then there's an ultimate edition or some kind of, let me see if I can, there's an edition of the game where it's called the Firefly edition, where it's $100 and you get a steel bookcase and some comic books and something else, the Firefly edition. Well, you could look it up, but I'm excited, and it's totally remastered. It's not even remastered. And then they came out with a year or two later, The Last of Us Remastered. They souped it up for PlayStation 4. I mean, I guess I could tell a difference on that. And the game is only 9 years old, and people say, how come the game's only 9 years old? Well, yes, it's a money grab, but I'll be damned if when I saw that trailer, it looked great. I mean, I'm getting it. I'm going to get it. I'm going to put some money aside. I'm going to pre-order it. I'll be there. If I had the days to take off, if I decide, I don't know that I'll take a day off to play it. On release day, but I'll be damned if I'm not considering it. But I'm excited because the way that if they make it, they're basically making The Last of Us look like it looks on, look like the game, look like The Last of Us Part 2. And one of the things that people raved about with Part 2 was the gameplay, and the gameplay is going to be changed too. So if they make the gameplay like they did for The Last of Us Part 2, it's going to be fantastic. If they can move, you know, Joel didn't move as well as his counterpart on the Abby on Part 2. Now, if Joel moves with the agility that Abby has, and maybe he can jump and all this stuff, and the way Ellie moved differently, you know, it's going to be great. And it looks amazing. So I'm looking forward to playing it. I probably would have paid $100 for that Firefly edition. But I think what I'll do, I just don't want to accumulate any more junk than I need to accumulate. So I think I would just probably get it digitally, get the deluxe version. and call it a day. I'm excited because it does come with the Left Behind game also. So that's something that I'm looking forward to. Plus, I got that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle game. I haven't even played that. I haven't played video games in like 3 or 4 weeks. I've just been busy, stressed out, and all this stuff. So I haven't gotten the time to just kind of chill and play. I'm on the last boss of Metroid Dread. I'm dreading playing that because I don't even know if I have enough energy. My energy tanks. I don't know. I don't know what I want to do. I'm at an impasse. And I'm just like, do I want to try to find some more energy tanks before I fight this fucking last boss? You know, like I don't even know, you guys. I really don't know what I'm going to do. Luxury problems. I mean, those aren't my only problems. You know what I mean? But just like, it's like, ugh. And I feel like I can't move on until I beat that fucking game. And I don't even want to start anything else. I got Zelda, that Zelda game that I want to play. There's the new Cuphead DLC that's coming out next week that looks great. Like I said, Cuphead is Contra on acid. It's so hard. I haven't even beaten that. So I've got a backlog of games that I need to play. So I'm just like, ugh. And it's just everything just seems like so daunting. But I think once I get past this Metroid Dread, I'll be able to. Things will open up more. So TV wise, I've been watching The Boys. I started watching that, so I'm up to date. A lot of gore this season. They just seem to get gorier and gorier with each season. And it's funny. It's a good show. It's satire on like the Marvel stuff, all those superhero all that superhero shit. And, and I like Marvel, but it's just a nice, really, very grounded, satire, very grounded send up of the Marvel movies. Just superhero, fandom, the superhero genre in general. I think it's really good. Been rewatching Abbott Elementary. So that's just a fucking incredible show. Very, very pleasant and funny. What else? There's some stuff that I want to start, but I haven't gotten into it yet. Like I've been watching Physical. Season 2 of that is back. So I think they're like 3 or 4 episodes in now. Maya Rudolph's got a show called Loot that's on Apple TV. Apple TV Plus rather. So there's a lot of content. And that I gotta stop renting stuff on VOD unless I'm super pressed to see it. Like if it's something that is being released straight to VOD, because there's so many of these movies. If you just wait long enough, they'll end up on Hulu, they'll end up on Amazon Prime. Or Netflix or something. And then like Kevin Hart's got a new movie out with a man from Toronto with Woody Harrelson. Oh my God. Why didn't I know that? I couldn't think of Woody Harrelson. So I want to see that. That looks good. It looks like it's funny. The trailer was really funny. I want to see that. So there's stuff. There's good stuff out there. And I need to watch the shit that I can already watch. I don't need to be like spending money on like, I already pay $25. I think it's like $20 plus for AMC. That's good. And then I got plenty of good stuff to watch on the streamers. So, I'm seeing where they're putting out a lot of stuff on. I don't have Paramount Plus or Peacock, but it seems like they're putting interest in stuff. And I've auditioned for stuff that looks pretty interesting that's coming out on Peacock. So that's cool. But it's just like, oh my God, there's so much stuff. It's becoming, it's hard. It's stressing me out. It doesn't need to stress me out. Where entertainment should not stress you out. So I just want to be a little more frugal when it comes to renting stuff on VOD, unless it's something that I really want to see, and that's how it's being released, you know. But some of these things that are coming out, I could probably wait. Just let it cycle through. Unless it's an actor or actress that I really like, I'll just kind of hold off. That's what I need to do. Because I'm spending a lot of money on these streaming networks and stuff. Let's talk about some Muzak and get the heck out of here, because I have things to do, guys. I'm a pretty cool and interesting person, so I have things to do. I want to talk about some Muzak. How about that new Beyonce? Seems like Beyonce knew that yesterday was going to happen. Seems like she knew Friday was going to happen, the Supreme Court shit. Well, a lot of people did. But Beyonce, who was a cultural icon, actually, you know, put Break My Soul out to prepare us for what was going to happen. I think it's a nice jam. She covered Robin S. with the production. She's got Big Frida telling you to quit your job. Don't quit your job unless you have another one lined up, okay? I know these celebrities will try to tell you to do this kind of stuff. Don't do it. Listen to me. Listen to a podcaster who has several hundred listens. Lou has like a few hundred listens a week. Listen to me, guys. Don't quit your job. But I get it. Like, people, it's funny. Comedians and everybody on Twitter will make fun of that. But it's a nice jam. It's definitely, if I was a club hopper, I would be dancing to that behind a pretty lady. You're damn right I would be. So it's a nice jam. I hope the same thing happens for Robin S. that's happening for Kate Bush with that Running Up That Hill record that she did, because they're about the same age. So it's good. It would be a good kick to her pockets. People keep jamming out to that song, you know. But I guess it's different because Beyonce sampled it. But I don't know. But who knows? I hope it works out for Robin S. also. How about that? Yeah. Because I remember Kate Bush Kate Bush did A Woman's Work, right? And Maxwell covered it. A Woman's Work. Oh, wait a minute. This Woman's Work. Yeah, Maxwell. But I thought Kate Bush wrote that. I thought, yeah, Kate Bush. Yeah, This Woman's Work. Yeah, that's so good. Yeah, that was a jam. I should be crying, but I just can't let it show. Nice jam. Yeah, so that's a good, so I'm liking the Beyonce. I've preloaded her album when it drops. I think it drops sometime next month. I don't know that much about pop music. I know, like, I just kind of know what I like, you know. I just know, what did I talk about recently? I just like that Alessia Cara that came out, but I don't know all these folks. You know, Beyonce, I'll check in. I think she's dope, and you know, she's Beyonce. Been listening to her since, yeah, I got my senior year in college, high school, because that's when she came out. We were about the same age. And I just remember them being fine as hell. Oh my God, all of them were gorgeous when No 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 came out, and then The Writing's on the Wall. I have good memories about that. That was, let's story time, folks. And then we'll talk about a couple more artists and we'll get the hell out of here. But let me indulge you. My junior, the summer of right before my senior year, I was in this acting troupe, and we were called the Teen Performance Ensemble of Harmony Hall Regional Center. And it was about six or seven of us, a group of teens, high school teens. And we would go, we put together a 45 minute to an hour show. And we toured around summer day camps in PG County. We had a van and we had a trailer and we had these sets that were in the back of the trailer. We put it up and we did a fucking show, bro, to kids all over PG County. And that was the summer that The Writings on the Wall came out. And what was the first single? What was the first single of that? Because I think they had CD singles out. Destiny's Child, Writings on the Wall. I don't remember. Is Bills? Bills might be the first. I don't know if Bills was the first single. I'm not 100% sure, but that was 19. That had to be night. Wait a minute. 1998? What? So that might have been my second year doing it. So I was in college at that time. I had finished my freshman year of college. So that came out. So December 98, when it came out July. Yeah, it came out in July. Okay, so yeah, we were in the thick of that tour. That's when that came out, 99. So the first year was dope too. First year was actually fun too. And it was, yeah, so that was a great time in my life. I was working at Sears and that job. I had a part-time job at Sears and I sold video games and kids' clothes at Sears in Landover, Maryland, which is not there anymore. At the Landover Mall in Landover, Maryland, young. I used to sell video games and I used to put kids' Easter suits together. Cause surprisingly, their moms couldn't match clothes, the ties. So I would do that. I'd help them out. It was surprising to me because my mother is a seamstress and she used to sew for people and she'd show me how stuff went together and stuff. So I was pretty good at that. Give them a little suit and Easter ties and all that. Very good times. And yeah, that was, I think around that time. Yeah, I think I had worked at Adventure World one summer and I was going to go back. But then I had that acting job and I was like, you know what? I don't want to be out in the hot fucking sun. And they just tried to transfer me to another ride. It was just shitty. I didn't like that. I mean, if you're a kid, you're a young kid and you want to be out, like, it's cool for a summer. It's for every young kid to try something like that, or college kid. It's cool to do that, I guess. I don't know what's cool anymore for kids, but it's always good to have one of those jobs where you're in food service and you're either in food service or customer service, like a retail type job, any type of service industry job. I think if you do something like that, if you've done something in your life like that, it makes you a better person, I think, because you know how to treat people. Hopefully it makes you treat people better. And hopefully you're not the person like, when I'm not doing this job anymore, I'm going to treat people like shit. So hopefully you're not like that, you know? But I know that I wasn't like that before I had that job, and I definitely wasn't like that after. So I think I told people this story before. I worked at, it's now Six Flags in Largo, Maryland, but it was Adventure World when I was working there. And when I was a kid, much younger than that, it was Wild World, and they used to have animals there. But now it's Six Flags. And I think I was like 17, 18. And I was like, I'm not doing this again. I did work there a couple times. And I was like, not doing that anymore. But I did spend the summer out there. And working at the Sahara Speedway. I'm sure I've talked about this. Do I still remember that speech? Welcome to Sahara Speedway. As a reminder, there's no stopping, no bumping, no swerving, no reckless driving of any kind. When you see a man in the field waving a yellow flag, that means your ride is over. It's time to pull into your pit. Your gas is on the right, your brake is on the left. Thank you for riding Sahara Speedway. Something like that. That was something like that. But yeah, great memories of Beyonce, Destiny's Child. We used to ride around. I think that might have been one of the only CDs we listened to. We might even had tapes back. We had CDs back then. We did. Yeah, we had CDs. So yeah, we listened to that album a lot. So I love Beyonce, but I'm not cool. I'm not up on all that stuff, but my God, that was a great album. I used to play some of that on my radio show when I was in college. Anyway, guys, what else? I want to talk about this artist named Rachel Mazur, who I found out about her. She was the opener. She opened for Moonchild, which is a band I told you about a few years back, and I'm a fan of theirs, and I just like follow them on Instagram. And sometimes, you know, when an artist you like shouts out another artist, I'm like, oh shit, let me check them out. I like them. Maybe I like this person. So Rachel Mazur is somebody that I've been following for a long time, but never like got into her music. Never just didn't listen, push play on any of her stuff. And, you know, it's nothing. It has nothing to do with her as an artist. She actually is very beautiful and kind of looks like a girl that I tried to date. I think we went out. She saw me do comedy when I first started. And we never spoke again. No. She saw me do stand up and we went out. I did take her out. And yeah, it just didn't happen. I think that was right around like when I started getting serious about stand up. I was pretty serious off the rip. And I was just like, oh, this didn't work. OK, well, I'm just going to keep doing stand up. And it's a very funny, not funny, very sobering thing where, and I'll get back to this music because I got to get out of here. But it's a very sobering thing. Like I was, when I watched Lightyear, I talked about that on Patreon. Hopefully we get maybe I'll have somebody that I talk to about that and we'll see this person's thoughts. And I was listening to Bill Burr, the great Bill Burr, and Jim Gaffigan talk about this on the Monday Morning Podcast. And I think this was around December. It was late last year. And they were talking about, oh shit, is it going to slip my mind now? Now that I'm trying to recall this thing. They were just talking about like achievements and getting stuff and, you know, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And Bill said, oh shit. Oh my God. He's just talking about how you spend all your time trying to learn a skill and then you got to live your life too. You know? Oh my God. I got to try to find that for you guys. Oh my God. Now see, I hate when I want to basically live your life, and it's okay to try to achieve stuff, but you have to live your life too, you know, and you have to try to get better in all aspects of your life. So that's, in a nutshell, that's what he was talking about. And I had listened to that a few months ago and I was like, yeah, wow, that's fucking profound. And it was on my save. It was on my watch later on my YouTube, and I watched it again. I was, that's fucking great. And then now that I'm trying to talk about it again, it's like, I lost it. But that was the essence of what they were talking about. Achieving isn't life. Achieving isn't living. Living is living. Something like that, he said. And it was really great. But it's part one of Bill Burr and Jim Gaffigan on the Monday Morning Podcast. Came out like late last year. But back to Rachel Mazur. She's very beautiful, very talented. She looked like a girl that I tried to date and it just didn't work out between me and her. And I got serious about stand up and just said, fuck it. And if I met somebody that I liked and I would meet her and then it didn't work out and we try to figure some shit out. It didn't work. I just went back into comedy, but I should be pursuing both equally hard. A career in showbiz and all that shit. But anyway, she's very beautiful, very talented. And I started listening to her. I was listening to her on the way to work this week. And I was like, oh my God, she's really good. She's got a great voice. And I was watching her, some of her YouTube clips. And I was like, hey, I like this stuff. And it's kind of jazzy. I don't know why Apple Music calls it soul, like R&B soul. She has a soulful voice. I don't know. It may not, every song may not be for you, but there's some songs that you're just like, holy shit, that's good. Like, that's really fucking good. And her voice, it's just like, you kind of want, because she's a singer-songwriter, I kind of want to, like, what would it be if she was working with some of my, like, favorite people? Like, if she was working with, like, Nicolay or Fonte, like, what would she sound like with them? But on her own, she's really good. And I'm on her website right now, and she's got some other clips of her live that I want to check out too. So I really like her stuff. She's got an EP. EP is called Casual. You know what? I'm just going to look it up, because I had her. I'm on her website, but it doesn't show. No, her album is called How Do We Get By? And that came out a couple years ago. But she's got an EP called Casual. And I'm going to try to find that here. Rachel Mazur. Casual is the name of the EP that came out last month. And How Do We Get By is her proper album that came out in 2019. I like the album. I like her. I like her stuff, man. She's good. Shout out to Moonchild for, you know, recommending and all that, you know, because they're good. She's good. Also, Lupe Fiasco came out with a new album called Drill Music in Zion. And I listened to that yesterday after I logged off of work, and I was driving around trying to get my car fixed and stuff. And it's fucking good. Lupe is just one of these. He is. When it comes to the lyrical miracle guy, it's Lupe. But he's. I listened to an interview that he did with Ebro and Laura Stiles. Like, he's kind of a troll, and it seems like he's kind of bitter and stuff like that. But the motherfucker can rap. He can rap his ass off. He's so good. And I think I talked about this a couple years ago, where it's just like, he's one of those dudes you kind of forget about because he's not always in the news, or you're just living your life and you're just like, oh, Lupe. Because he hasn't been away. Like, he's had EPs. He did this the project with Virgil, the late, great Virgil Abloh, that was like, oh, this is fucking great. And, you know, every time I hear him, I'm just like, oh, yeah, he's dope. But this one is just like, it's I'm solid, like, what is it, like 41 minutes? But it doesn't even seem like it's that long. It's just like, it's, I don't know, man. I think he's one of the greats. It's 10 songs. And he said that he did this in 3 days. And you can tell. It's like, no, you can't. No. He did it in 3 days. And it's fucking great. I really like it. I recommend Drill Music and Zion. It's the best thing I've heard since Kendrick, as far as the hippity hop is concerned. And he's so good that, like, some of these, you know, I don't know if you call him, he's kind of like a woke guy, and he's a little bit of a, what do you say? How do you say? He's kind of a, oh my God, what's the word? He's a troll, like, when he's in interviews and stuff, but he's very like, oh my God, I'm at a loss for words. Contrarian. He's a contrarian in a lot of ways, but then when he explains himself, it's like, oh, I get your point, but you're kind of trolling. But then he's got this record that's called On Fox Nim. I think it's called O-N On F-A-U Nim. I don't know if that's On Fox and Nim or something like that, if that's what that's supposed to be. Let's look it up on Genius, guys. I got a little bit of time. Lupe Fiasco. But I would just say that it's just a very good album. It's just he's very good. And you hear that every time I talk about comedy, and I always make that phrase, improve on the design, doing something new. That's what Lupe does. And that's from him. That's where I got that from. I got that from him, from the Superstar record. Cause Ebro was saying something like, yeah, you know, you kind of like, it was something he said, and Lupe took offense to it, but he was like, I got some hits, and he does have some hits, you know? I don't know that this is going to say much about it, but he's just he's got his shit where he's talking about, like, you know, it's just really where he's not necessarily being preachy, but he's just talking about social issues, and it's good the way that I like the way he does it, man. And he makes it entertaining, and he's not being preachy. He says what he means, and he means what he says. And I think this is very fucking good. It just makes me appreciate him more. And I just happened to be, you know, on my way back from Maryland on Sunday, this past Sunday, I was just like, I had heard a couple of the records that were, I think there was just one or two songs that came out before the album dropped on Friday. And I was like, yeah, that's good. Just like a good, solid work. Then I went back to some of his old records, you know, like from Food and Liquor. And I was just like, yeah, it's always good to be reminded of how dope somebody is. I think this is very good. I've listened only a few times. But I think it's great. So without further ado, guys, I think that's it for the day. I think that's it for this week. I have things to do, and I appreciate you all listening. And I will talk to you next time. Take it easy, everybody.